The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, so Farrell on the bench, Mafia is with me tonight. I was looking at some of these games. I know we were just going through the scores and stuff in the break, but the Grizzlies beat the Mavericks 133-104. I hit that game both ways to win outright. Ja Morant had 24, 8 dimes, 7 boards, and the Grizzlies with a big third quarter, outscoring the Mavs 36-25, and then in the fourth, 37-22, and they blow out Dallas. There you go. How about the Pacers upsetting the 76ers tonight in Indy? 103-94 was the final there. Sabonis had his ninth triple-double of the season. LeVert had 24 as Indy rallies past the Sixers and ending the Sixers' 8-game winning streak. Big win there for the Pacers. I am not buying the Pacers at all in terms of doing anything. I just have to look. I want to look really quick at these standings. It's imperative that I look because, you know, they change every day. And it's just been crazy trying to keep up with this stuff. They're in the 9 right now, so they would play Washington in the play-in. So Boston would play Charlotte, and Indy plays Washington in the Eastern Conference play-in. So I'm not buying them at all as a team. I don't care if they won tonight. I have not been impressed with them at all. They've had too many injuries. Turner, it goes on and on, the problems. Brogdon has been injured. They've had nothing but problems. Clippers over the Raptors tonight, 115-96. Kawhi had 20, PG 16. Clippers led belly-to-belly, and they win at Tampa against Toronto. In fact, they covered. They blew them out. La-di-da. So, and you know, Toronto, I mean, their season's over completely. The T-Wolves went into Detroit, so everybody was wrong about that today on Coast to Coast. Cat Towns had 28. Edwards, the rookie, had 22. The T-Wolves beat the Pistons by 19, blew them out in Detroit at Little Sleezers. Unbelievable. The T-Wolves haven't been playing bad down the stretch. Nuggets win in Charlotte by 5. Michael Porter Jr. ended up having a good game. He and Joker each had 30, and the Nuggets held off a late rally by the Hornets to snap a 2-game slide. So big win for the Nuggets tonight. Heat win by 8 over the Celtics. They clinch a playoff spot with an 8-point win, Hero Sandwich with 24, and they clinched and locked the Celtics into the play-in tournament with the 129-121 win over the Celtics. No Jaylen Brown. He's done for the year. I think that's going to do them in one way or the other. At the half right now, the Thunder lead the Kings at the Golden One in Sacktown by 365-62. The Suns lead the Warriors in San Francisco 66-58 at the half. Suns getting involved on the streets tonight. We welcome our radio affiliate SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces. It's Pharrell on the bench with Mafia tonight. Good to have you with us. The Bucks 102-91 at home right now with three and change left. 102-91 Bucks. They lead the Magic. And the Knicks game is tied 42s apiece with the Lakers. 4.5 left in the second in LA at Staples. I just want to look at who's getting involved. D Rose going off again. He had 25 the other night against the Clippers, 12 already in this one in the first half to lead the Knicks. Nilakina never plays. He's got 6. Toppin's got the 3-ball and a 5-point game so far. Barrett's got 6. Randall's got 6. Bullock has hit a 3. So right now, Lakers up 1, 43-42. And then you get a miss by Noel on a layup. He missed a dunk from 1 foot out. I mean, honestly, how bad do you suck? You can't make that layup. And then they give up a 3 at the other end because of it. Nice job, dude. You got to put that ball in a hole. You're literally at the rim, and you kiss it off the glass and miss from 1 foot out. I don't understand that. You're 7 foot tall. Dunk the ball. I mean, honestly, what a candy ass. He's been great this year blocking shots. I'll give him that. But he has no touch whatsoever. Dunk the ball. You're standing right at the basket, nobody on you, and you miss a layup. You got to dunk the ball. Now they score another 3. They're up 7. I mean, that miss right there, as far as I'm concerned, cost them. My God, you're standing right there. You're 7 foot tall. Dunk it. Nobody's standing there looking at you. You got to throw that ball down on a bench.
We're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year.
Don't believe us?
Never turn us off.
You'll see.
Keep listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Bobby, are you watching this Knicks game? Do you have it on, or are you watching something else?
Oh, of course I got it on.
Did you see that and one by Randall and that Davis crying about that foul? Are you kidding me? He fouled the living Shaq out of him. I mean,
of course,
they're unbelievable.
No one thinks they do a damn thing in this league anymore. It's amazing. I mean, just look at the fact that your boy Doncic the other day, after he says he's got to stop bitching, he's got to stop talking to refs. Like, he claims he didn't do it on purpose when he, you know, hit him below the belt. Like, are you kidding me? The guy flat out stares him down and then swings his arm in the replay. You're going to tell me you didn't do it on purpose? Just stare at him for 10 seconds.
He definitely whacked him in the onions on purpose, without a doubt. That was a Pharrell move. I mean, that was a blatant Pharrell move where you just flat out punch the guy right in the onions and then pretend like you didn't do it. I've done that to you.
Right. And none of these guys ever do a damn thing. So how could I know? I was in the right spot. I wasn't moving my feet. My hands were straight up. Meanwhile, you know, they're poking them in the eye. Like, it's ridiculous. None of these guys ever do anything wrong. Like, God forbid they ever commit a crime, they'd be the worst defendants ever.
I mean, did you see, though, that foul by Davis? I mean, he mauled Randall, and he got the and-one and got him back in the game, and he cried about that call. He's still talking about it. 2 minutes later, he's still talking. He's talking to Randall about it.
I mean, he flopped trying to get the charge, and he wasn't.
He mauled him. Are you kidding me? And then he cries. I told you, there is no team. There is no team even close to crying like they cry, the Lakers. I mean, you watch them all the time. One of the advantages that we have is that they show every Laker game on national television. I mean, they're just on every night. And so we get to watch them cry. We get to watch them work the refs. No one works the refs better than LeBron James. He's got him eating out of his palms, but he hasn't played. He's missed 25 of the last 27 games. And, I mean, the Knicks are getting roasted by Kuzma. He's got 18 points in the first half. It's a three-point Laker lead with a minute 11 left, and they're going to call Drummond for a foul. But bottom line is they're letting Kuzma roast them. They're doing a good job on Davis. He's got like eight, but they're letting Kuzma just go off in this game. And
that's fine, though. Kuzma's, he has 18 now. He'll end up with like 24, and that's it. He's not a guy like AD who's just going to continue to roast you the whole game, and all of a sudden he's got 50 points and carry the team to victory. He's going to go as a big first half, and all of a sudden can't hit the broadside of a barn in the second.
Kuzma's got 18. Davis has 10. Nobody else has jack. Nobody's doing anything. I told you before in this game, your boy Rose has 14 now. He had 25 against the Clippers. I mean, I got to tell you, dude, he looked so good against the Clippers the other day that I was Sunday. I was so blown away by that 25-point game he had against the Clippers. I mean, he had it all going. At one point, he was like 9 of 10 from the floor. He was dealing, driving. He had scoop layups. He had it all going. Step backs, threes, you name it. His game has been so phenomenal since he's come back to the Knicks. It's not even funny.
Yeah, and I was questioning that move because you had IQ there. You have all these other guys that are guard. You're like, what are you going to do? Where are you going to give them time? But Tibbs has done a great job with him, and he's done a good job mentoring IQ. He's done – you know, he's fit right in and really, you know, taking this team to another, you know, level on the second unit. He's given them a lot more depth there and creating for guys to get some points here, there. And then every now and then he just breaks out and does it himself.
So I just saw Noel get a pass and a dunk. I told you, I guarantee you in that timeout that Thibodeau said to him, or somebody said to him, bro, when you get the ball under the basket, dunk it. Because you obviously can't shoot. Yeah, I mean, he missed a one-foot layup, and he can dunk. He's 7 foot tall. All he has to do is reach up in the sky, and he can dunk. And he doesn't even have to jump to dunk. When he reaches up, he's 10 foot. And so all I know is someone said it to him because he just got a pass and dunked it. And he just was like, all right, I'm not missing any more J's because I'm dunking. That's the best way to not miss a field goal is to dunk it. And at the half, the Knicks have the lead, 56-55 on the Lakers in L.A. So you know what's amazing to me, that dunk by Noel, is that, frankly, in my opinion, this team never stops coming at you. They never stop going for it. They never stop working. They never stop moving the ball. They never stop defending. They just keep playing. That's the funny thing about them. They give you 48 hard every night. They just absolutely play from belly to belly the whole game, and they don't get too high. They don't get too low. They just go out. They move the ball. They run their sets, and they play defense. They stop the two. They stop the three. They stop the other team's best players, and they have the number one defense in the league, and it's amazing to me. You know, I know Kuzma had a big first half, whatever, but they're in the lead at the half. They got a lot of work to do because they got to deal with Davis and Drummond and Kuzma. All three of them are, you know, involved in this game, physically speaking. And the Knicks just have to keep working. Now, I took the high-risk bet tonight, Mafia. I went rolling the dice with the Nets on the road in Chicago, laying the 5, and then I went with the Knicks getting the 4.5 in LA against the Lakers. And that was knowing that LeBron was playing in the morning. And later in the afternoon, when we went on Coast to Coast, they announced he wasn't going to go. He's going to go tomorrow night. But I still, you know, obviously it's going to be nerve-wracking the second half, but I still believe in this team enough, and I know you do too, that they can beat this team. You know, I'll be honest with you. If you were to, because they've gone 10-15 without LeBron James, the Lakers. And since, you know, I think AD came back, it's like, I don't know, 3-7, something like that. I could be wrong, but I think it's somewhere in that vicinity, in that neighborhood of like 3-7 with him in the lineup of the 10 of the 15 losses, right? He's been a part of, you know, he's gone 3-7 in this stretch since he came back. So my point being, I think that during this, you know, period without LeBron, there's no doubt in my mind, Mafia, the Knicks are a better team than the Lakers. Without him, the Knicks are better. And now I know they might lose tonight. I mean, they're on a long road trip. They've been out west. They've been playing every other day. They've had a lot of games, and they should be tired. They should be shot. And the Lakers should win this game at home, right? They were favored. And they were still favored without LeBron because the, you know, Knicks are on the road, and they're beat up. So do you think that the Knicks are a better team than the Lakers without LeBron?
Yeah, right now especially I think they are because, you know, they've been playing together most of the season, all these guys. This isn't a situation like the Lakers where you're missing your best players for huge chunks of the season. And, you know, not only are they still missing LeBron, they're still missing Schroeder. Kuzma just got back. AD just found himself. I mean, he had those two big games, and that was huge for him because first couple games that he was back, he just wasn't himself at all. You could see that he wasn't the same player that he, you know, was, whether it was with LeBron or even when he was leading the Pelicans by himself, essentially. So now he's gotten his legs back, he's better. And obviously we see Kuzma contributing. Drummond's starting to fit in a little better, but you're still missing two key pieces in LeBron and Schroeder. So I think the way that the Knicks, you know each other well, as we see with, you know, some of these alley-oops between Barrett and Toppin, or the great pass to Noel against Davis for the dunk, they just have that, you know, that familiarity with each other that the Lakers still don't, you know, have to work on at this point in the season because they haven't played enough together.
So, you know, they TNT has this game or whatever. So I'm gonna settle into the second half. I'm looking forward to that. But the Suns are up 8 on the Warriors with 10 left in the third. So they just kind of started the second half. And that Thunder lead over the Kings is 67-64. That's early in the third as well, up in Sacktown.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
All right, Pharrell on the bench, so... I'm watching Seattle leading the Dodgers in the fifth. Bueller's on the mound still. 3-1 Mariners lead the Dodgers at Chavez Ravine here, if you can believe it. I mean, I still can't fathom what's happening to them. The Dodgers, I mean, can anyone even make this up? It's like a bad movie. They're literally, all they do is lose. I heard today all I could take, oh, their offense is second best in baseball. Their, you know, on base percentage is outrageous. I'm like, they've lost 5 straight series. They've lost 15 out of 20 games. They are losing again tonight. I mean, it truly is unbelievable. Who would have thunk it that the M's would come into Dodger Stadium and push the Dodgers around? They better wake up. They're going to lose this game too. It's crazy. I can't even believe that the Yankees beat the Rays either tonight, because if there's one team that's the kryptonite of the Yankees, it's the Tampa Bay Rays. Not tonight. The Yankees beat them 3-1. Montgomery goes 6 strong innings. Aaron Judge and Gary Sanchez homered, and the Yankees won it. Gary Sanchez, oh my God, he's been so anemic and awful. The guy, I mean, this guy, do you remember at the beginning of the season he hit like a couple home runs, and everybody started talking about he's going to win the MVP? Gary Sanchez win the MVP. That's the funniest thing I think I've ever heard. He's hitting 178. I can't even believe he hit a home run. I can't even believe he got a hit. He has been atrocious. I mean, without a doubt, I think his Yankees days are numbered. They have to, like, get rid of him. He's just worthless. Sans the home run tonight. You can't argue it, Mafia. You know as well as I do. I know you're a Met fan, but you're here in New York, and we watch these teams every night. Have you ever seen anything about, like, how far that guy's fallen off a cliff? That guy is – he's a disaster.
Yeah, and, you know, it just shows you again how little spring training means because, like you said, all these guys were hyping him up. And, you know, Judge, Stan talking about how this guy made so many great strides and he's back and he could be an MVP. And, you know, he was hitting the ball great in spring training. And then the season started and he hasn't done a damn thing. Every now and then, like you said, he'll pop up at a home run. And like, oh, maybe, you know, this will be when he starts to turn around and break it out. He just hasn't yet in this first month plus. And, you know, this is a guy that doesn't do a good enough job behind the plate to be a defensive catcher. So if he's not going to hit, then what's his worth? What's his value if he's not getting you runs and hits and, you know, RBI every day?
He's worthless is what it is. There's no point in talking about it that much. He's worthless. He never does anything. I couldn't even believe he hit a home run. I almost fell over. LeMahieu's doing all right. He's hitting 280. Giancarlo Stanton has been on fire lately. He's up to 293. During the hitting streak, he hit like 450. And then Judge is 254. Urshela is 286. Voit finally came back tonight. He went 0-for-3 with a strikeout, so he did absolutely nothing. Torres tonight, 0-for-4. Sanchez, the homer. Frazier, 1-for-3. But, you know, bottom line is they won the game, which is all that matters. They never beat the Rays. Montgomery, 6 innings, 2 hits, 1 run earned, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. That's his best outing. He's 2-1. Loaiza came in, got the hold. Chapman came in, got his 8th save. So there you have it. The Yankees finally beat the Rays. I mean, that's a miracle in itself. The Pirates beat the Reds 7-2 in Pittsburgh at PNC. Troy Stokes drove in runs with each of his first 2 major league hits. So they got the rookies playing. JT Brubaker pitched 6 strong innings. The Pirates finally beat the Reds 7-2 tonight in Pittsburgh. I'm the only person on the face of the earth that cares about the Pirates. That's my favorite team. It's unfortunate. It's tough being a Pirate fan. No respect. The A's beat the Red Sox. Bassett struck out 10 over 7 innings, and the A's beat the Red Sox 3-2.
My whole life, I don't get no respect. No respect from anyone.
That's the Pirates right there speaking on behalf of Pittsburgh. It's unfortunate what they've been through. The Giants win again. All they do is win. Logan Webb tied a career high with 10 strikeouts in 6 innings, and the Giants beat Texas 4-2, keeping the Rangers winless in interleague play. How about the Giants? 22-14. You can't even make it up what they've done. When everyone thought the Dodgers would run away with it and the Padres, it's been the Giants that have been the story. Your boy, don't call me Justin Bieber, pitched out of some early trouble. He extended his strikeout record, and Cesar Hernandez hit a 2-run homer as the Indians got by the Cubs 3-2. Bieber getting involved. That guy can throw, right? So the Phillies beat the Nationals 6-2. Harper with a second deck shot, 433-foot homer against his former team, obviously. McCutchen got involved with a sack fly, drove in a run. Turner homered. Schwarber drove in a run. They had it all going. Phillies win it 6-2. They're 19-17, and they've actually kept pace with the Mets in the East. Somebody's got to do it. The Mets winners over Baltimore. Patrick Mazeika got his second walk-off RBI in four career games with a fielder's choice grounder in the ninth inning, helping the banged-up Mets rally to beat the Orioles 3-2. Did you watch that one? Six straight wins for the Mets, Moff.
Yeah, it was a great bottom of the ninth there. They battled, and then Smith hits a single to tie it up. After they almost had the Pilar tie it up with nobody on with a home run, goes just outside the foul pole. So they say to, you know, he ends up battling, getting on base anyway. Then Smith ends up driving him in later on with the single. You got guys on second and third, and this guy battles. He was down 0-2. I thought he was going to get smoked. And ends up battling back, fighting, and hitting an infield shot that they try to get the guy at home instead, and they win the game that way.
They've won six in a row, and a lot of people think that they've, you know, won everything with pitching, and they haven't even begun to hit yet. So now all of a sudden, I mean, they're winning. Who cares how you win as long as you win?
Yeah, Vladdy all thanks Guerrero, to the Rally Homer. Rat or Raccoon, whichever one it was.
So they actually now, are they running with the Rally Raccoon? Is that the new thing for the Mets?
No, actually what they're giving the credit to is your boy Alonso, the polar bear, after they did the whole thing where they fired all the hitting coaches. They had a hitters meeting before the one game, and he shows up in a disguise, acting to be like some other guy, some, you know, Donnie Stevenson, he called himself, that he's a new hitting coach, and, you know, just making fun of things and actually loosening the guys up, and they've been winning ever since.
Wow. The polar bear getting involved. Vladdy Guerrero homered and drove in three runs, and the Jays took advantage of Atlanta's bad fielding in the eighth inning, and they the Jays win it 5-3. Over the Braves. And the Astros beat Otani and the Angels 5-1. I hate the Astros. Cheaters. Otani struck out 10 in a battle with Lance McCullers, but the Astros broke loose against the Angels bullpen to beat LA. The Angels 5-1. There you go. Now, the Mariners are up 3-1 on the Dodgers. Bottom five. Two outs. Cardinals lead the Brewers 6-1 in the 11th. So they exploded in the 11th for all those runs. Let me check it. I have to see it for myself. They scored five runs in the 11th. Goldschmidt homered a two-run shot. And then O'Neill homered. And his was a three-run shot. So it went from 1-1 to 3-1 to 6-1. That's where it is right now. The Cardinals are tough as hell. I'm telling you, they're going to come off. I think he's got COVID. They put him on the IL.
Yeah, he tested positive. Bunch of guys there.
So they're up 8-1 in Colorado in the ninth. I think tomorrow they're playing two there because they got rained out last night. And then the Diamondbacks in the sixth lead the Marlins 6-0. In Arizona. So there you go. Still 3-1 Seattle on the Dodgers in the fifth with two outs at Chavez Ravine. Mookie Betts is up. He's hitting .256, over two in this game. I cannot believe what has happened to that team. I really can't. I mean, it's inexplicable that they don't win. San Francisco's lead is 2.5 over the Padres. 3.5 over the Dodgers while they're playing right now. Arizona's 5.5 back. Colorado's 9 back. How about the Giants with a nice little cushy lead in the West?
Football, the goal line. Baseball, home plate. Basketball, the net. Sports talk right here. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So, Mafia, we talked about it for a minute today, but never really got to get into it at all. How about this guy, McGregor, thinks that he's going to buy Manchester United? What is happening there? Like, honestly, does he realize how much that team is worth? He doesn't have that kind of money. I don't care what he sold that whiskey for. You know, that's like buying the Yankees. It's like buying the Cowboys. They're worth billions of dollars. Man, you. Are you kidding me? Like, he can't afford that. He'd have to have 25 investors with him. And then I don't believe anymore. I said today about Alex Rodriguez, his window closed for that purchase of the T-Wolves. Not that they can't still buy them. Not that they still can't get a deal done. But I'm hearing that, you know, Aaron Aflalo and his group are back in the mix for the T-Wolves and Lynx after A-Rod and his partner couldn't get it done. But you don't seriously believe Conor McGregor is going to buy Man U, do you?
No, no way in hell. Not unless he gets a whole bunch of other rich guys with him. I mean, he was even saying that first the first thought of him was, you know, buying Celtic, you know, obviously being the Irishman that he is, buying the hometown team, then trying to make them into something. I mean, if he's going to get into the EPL, he's going to set his sights a lot lower. Said, you know, maybe even not even maybe one of the teams that got relegated first and try to bring him back up because, man, you, that's like you said, you know, it's like the Yankees. It is the best. It is, you know, buying the Cowboys. You can't go from nothing to everything in one shot, man. You got to work your way up. And, you know, like all the money they made, so what? It's not enough. And the Clippers aren't going to sell either right now. Even though the fans hate them and have hated them for 16 years since they took over that team and are, you know, leading protests and invading the pitch to make sure the team doesn't play after the whole, you know, fiasco with the Super League, they're not going to sell. They'd be dumb to sell all the money they make from that. It doesn't matter if the fans don't like you. Eventually, they're going to get over it. They're going to show up and fill your pockets with cash. You're not selling.
Yeah. So I saw that he's like in the UAE. He's training over there for this Poirier fight in the heat or something like that. Where is that fight going to be? Do you know? That's in July, right?
It's
where is
Vegas.
That fight? It's in Vegas, right? It's T-Mobile?
Right. It's going to be an indoor arena. What are you training over there for? It's not like you're going to be outdoors. It's not like you're actually going to be in the desert when you're fighting. You're going to be in an air-conditioned arena. I mean, that was the thing before this, right? He was training in, like, Italy in the mountains with all these, you know, cyclists and how that was going to help him win, right? How did that go? So now he's going to change it and go to UAE and train in the desert, and that's going to make it work? Sure.
So anyway, how about this? Another home run here for Haniger hit a home run off of Bueller. It's 4-1 Seattle. Like, I'm just loving life tonight watching this. I should probably turn the Nick game back on. It's crucial. I got the Dodgers. Watching the Dodgers lose is enough fun for me. Now I got to go back to the Nick Laker game. And the Lakers are up 4 with 7 left in the third. I have a bad feeling about this game, Mafia. I just have this horrible feeling. You know, I noticed that Quickly wasn't playing tonight. He's in street clothes. I don't know what's wrong with Quickly. I can't hear the game because I'm doing the show. But he's not playing. And I don't know. He's day-to-day, I just heard him say. I'm trying to pick up on what his injury is. I didn't know he was injured. I noticed he wasn't playing, though, when I saw Rose playing that whole first half. And right now they got Payton out there, Elfrid Payton, with Bullock, basically the guards. And it's a three-point game, 7 minutes left in the third. The Lakers are up on the Knicks. So there you go. Anyway, so who do you think – I know a lot of people are saying, because the other day I was talking to you about McGregor, said he wants to fight twice in the rest of the year. And then a lot of people, you said something about if he beats Poirier, a lot of people think if he beats Poirier, he's going to get another big fight. My problem is I still have my doubts about him beating Poirier. I think, frankly, I know he's a celebrity, but I think Poirier is a better fighter than him.
I agree 100%. I mean, if he beats Poirier, they'll give him a title shot. That's what they're going to do because they want to get him back up there. They want to get that belt back in, you know, either his hands or at least have him fighting for it because of how much, you know, how many eyeballs it's going to bring, how much bigger it's going to be than having, you know, just Chandler or Oliveira fight Poirier or, you know, Gaethje. Like those guys, everyone loves them, but it's not the same level as Conor. So it's going to be a lot different if they can get him in there. If he beats Poirier, who's the top contender, they'll throw him in that belt quicker than you could spit. So we'll see how that develops. I still don't think he's going to beat Poirier. I'm with you. I picked Poirier in the last fight. I'm going to pick him again because he's just the better fighter. And I didn't see anything in that fight that saw well. You know, it wasn't some kind of flash knockout where, well, you know, he just caught him. And if he just changes one thing, you know, he'll be in that fight. Like, he kicked his ass. And sure, he didn't have the wrestling taken. You know, the wrestling didn't work right away. But the more you get tired, the more that fight goes on, the more that's going to factor in that we didn't see. And he picked him apart with those calf kicks. You can't just say, okay, well, I'm going to do this and negate the calf kicks. No one has figured out how to negate calf kicks. So if he does it again and starts picking apart that way, kicking those legs, taking away his movement and setting him up to just get pummeled again, what are you going to do?
So as you go to 262 this weekend in, I think, Houston, right? That's where the fight is. Yes. Are you leaning toward Chandler or Oliveira?
I'm leaning towards Chandler right now because Oliveira has been on an incredible run. I don't want to discount that. I want to write this guy off. But I think that Chandler has a lot more pop in that fist, a lot more one, you know, punch power. Oliveira is a good stand-up fighter. He's beaten up a lot of guys. And we saw what he can do with the wrestling where he just tossed Tony Ferguson around like a rag doll. He's a BJJ black belt. But I think the wrestling of Chandler can negate that a little bit or at least get him off the mat once he does get thrown down, if he does. And if it gets into those exchanges, Chandler's got some good power. He's got some good pop. He can pick you apart with combinations. But Chandler can change the fight with one punch.
Well, let me ask you this question. I got all that. But at what point do you buy in on Oliveira based on, hasn't he won like 8 straight fights?
Yes. And that's why I'm saying, you know, it's not like I'm just writing this guy off like he has no chance. He's in this fight. This is going to be a very good fight. But I think at some point that, you know, that punch from Chandler can change it. Even if he's down, that could just shake him. I mean, look what it did to Dan Hooker. Dan Hooker went 5 rounds with Dustin Poirier, just picking him apart, beating him up, you know, combination after combination on the guy. He won all 5 rounds with him somehow. First round, Chandler puts him down.
So, yeah, I mean, because he's got the big hard hands. He's got the bombs. Everybody's a badass until they get knocked the Pharrell out, right? When they take one across the jaw or across the temple, and then they're lights out. So you had told me about all these other great fights on that card on Saturday night. Which is the one that stands out to you the most in terms of that you're interested in besides that Oliveira-Chandler fight?
I mean, the biggest one is that Ferguson fight because this is one that he needs to win. You know, he was at the top of the heap. He was fighting Gaethje for the chance to go fight for the belt again against Khabib. And then, of course, he loses that fight. He gets, you know, he got beat in his own game with Gaethje picking apart in the boxing. And then he comes back and gets tossed around by Oliveira the next fight. So this is one where, you know, he has to win this to prove that he's not falling down the mountain, that he's not past his prime right now, and that he should still be in the mix for that title and try to get back into the mix for getting a, you know, title shot, depending on how things shake out. You know, maybe he even gets to go fight McGregor. If McGregor loses to Poirier and you're not going to throw him a title shot, maybe put him against Ferguson and have them battle it out on the feet. That's a big one. You know, I'm excited for this Shane Burgos, Edson Barboza fight, you know, because these are two guys that love to mix it up, love to throw down. Those are always the most fun fights. Those are the two that I'm really looking forward to outside of it. You're also supposed to have that Hermanson versus Shabazzian fight, but that one got moved off because of COVID. So those are the two fights I'm really looking forward to, you know, outside the top fight.
I just saw LeBron talking to Randall. LeBron in street clothes. He's wearing, like, shorts. He's chilling the most. He's got his mask on. He's rocking his shoes. He's got the Laker-looking LeBron's on. He's got the hat. He's got it all going. And he's over there talking to Randall. And I'm sure he's giving him the business like, bro, you're just lighting it up. You're having a great season. You're just absolutely badass, all-star. I think he's first-team NBA this year, Randall. He's been so amazing. Here he is with the second free throw. It's a one-point game now. The Lakers are up one. Bottom line is, if they could just, you know, it appears to me the problem has been Kuzma in this game. Now, Kuzma is not in the game right now. With 6.5 left in the third. But he caused most of the damage in the first half. And they got guys like Davis with Drummond with a dunk right underneath. I told you, the size is a problem. When they got Davis and Drummond both out there, these two monsters, 7-footers, they can do whatever they want. I mean, the Knicks can only guard them so, I think, ineffectively based on they don't have the size. They just cannot match up against Drummond and Davis. But meanwhile, Randall's sticking Jays right in Davis's face. I mean, he just stuck another one right in his face. And I got to get – it's 67-66 Lakers and Knicks with the ball. And then I just want to see what he's got now. He's got 19 now and 6 of 12. Make it 7 of 13. He's got 21 now. So the numbers keep popping. 21 for Randall on 7 of 13 shooting, and he's hit a couple of threes. So this guy continues to amaze every night. Like, you know, in 25 minutes, 21 points, he's taken over the game for the Knicks. Remember Rose. Rose had 16 in the first half. He's not even playing right now. Peyton has been in the game. It's amazing to me. How is it that Peyton's in the game? He's got 2 points in the game, and they got him running, and then Rose is over there chilling. Meanwhile, Rose has been the best player when he's got the ball in his hands. He's so dangerous. I told you what he did against the Clippers and what he's doing tonight. How is he not in this game? Just running this show. He should be in charge, Chuck in charge. And then as far as Kuzma goes, he's still, you're right, Mafia, he's still at 18. He was at 18 at the half. So there you go, you know, 6 minutes into this second half, and he's not even on the floor. I think they just put him in the game, though. I could be wrong. I think I just saw him fly by with his phony blonde hairdo. He is. He's in the game, but I think he dyed his hair back to its natural color. So the blonde hairdo is gone now, and he's rocking back to his normal color. I guess he changes it every week. No basket. No basket. They're going to call. Oh, what is that call? You got to be kidding me. They called Noel for a foul there. Did you see that, Mafia? What is that call? I got to see it to believe it. Randall misses. Noel goes in, tips the ball in. What is that call? Brian Anderson, easy call. Shut your face. That is such a wussy call against 2 7-footers. You got to be kidding me. Unbelievable. I thought that was a candy-ass call. You go in and get that offensive tip and follow and put it in the hole, and they call you for shoving off against a guy that weighs 275 pounds? That's candy-ass, if you ask me. Candy-ass. Ball don't lie on that second free throw, Holmes. I've got a basketball zit coming in on my knee, Mafia. It's like Mount Vesuvius. This thing's huge. It's going to erupt like a volcano. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
How about this? Baffert is going to have Medina Spirit and 2 other horses in the Preakness. So Medina will race, and fellow Preakness runner Concert Tour, the favorite, and Beautiful Gift, who's expected to run in the Black Eyed Susan on Friday. So I think 2 of them are in the Preakness. 1 of them's in the Black Eyed Susan. They've agreed with Baffert and his lawyers that allows for additional testing, additional monitoring, especially a watch list to ensure the integrity of the sport leading up to the race. They're going to let his horses run. It's amazing to me that it went from some guy went to the bathroom on the hay, and then the horse ate the hay and suddenly was on roids. And then, whatever you want to call it, anti-inflammatory. And then what do you call the cream they rubbed on the horse's ass? I mean, honestly, then today it was we rubbed a hormone cream on his ass for a few days leading up to the race. And then that's what led to the failed test. What's it going to be tomorrow? What's the excuse going to be tomorrow? Now, Baffert is not going to go to the Preakness. You know what's funny? He won't go to the Preakness, but he'll still be all they talk about on NBC at the Preakness will be Bob Baffert, as usual. If he's not cheating, they talk about him nonstop at every Triple Crown event. with no exception, they give no one else any attention whatsoever. They might mention who the other horses are. That's all they do. They'll be like, oh, look at this horse, and this jockey's on this horse, and his trainer's this guy. He's got a great story. But we're not going to tell you the story because we're too busy on our knees for Bob Baffert. Bob Baffert won't even be at Pimlico, and they'll spend the entire effing day talking about him. He'll still be the topic and flavor of the day the entire day on Saturday. It makes me want to puke. You can have it. Stick that Preakness in your ear. I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast.